Good morning and welcome to HR Tech Weekly, One Step Closer with Stacey Harris and John Sumser. Good morning, Stacey. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm doing well. I'm in home, at least for the next 2 weeks, before we start on the road again in October. And so I'm in North Carolina, and the sun is shining, so that's always good. And I think you're home this week as well, right? We're both writing our little fingers off this week.
That's right. I'm putting the finishing touches on the... I was going to call it artificial intelligence in HR technology when I started off on the report, and since I haven't been able to find any artificial intelligence in HR technology, I'm starting to call it the emergence of intelligent software, because there are amazing things going on, really amazing things. The 30 companies that I've looked at are doing software in new ways, and it's really exciting. It just isn't artificial intelligence, but they are going to some lengths to make the software smarter while reducing the amount of time that people have to spend in the software solving problems. So it's smarter and faster with bigger value to the customer on delivery. And that's interesting, I think.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be an interesting opportunity to maybe give a different perspective to what's happening in the market than what's being put out there, at least by all the marketing spiel, at least, right?
Oh, man, one day this week, I was sitting at my desk. One of the things I have to do, there are so many people claiming things in this area that the list of companies who should have been a subject of the report is the same size as the number of companies who are in the report. So I now have 60 companies who are doing some form. Well, this is the new software, and it's exploding.
Yeah.
But in a 45-minute stretch, I saw 8 different companies claiming to be the first AI in recruiting. You know, probably not all of them are, and it turns out that none of them were the first, and none of them have AI. That's not to say that they're not doing amazing and interesting things. It's just that the marketing claims are extremely overhyped, and I'm expecting a reasonably strong back as the year presses on, because it doesn't help to know that something is AI, because that doesn't tell you what it does or what value you get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to really dig down, understand the business outcomes they're trying to achieve. See, we've got the other problem in the writing that we're doing right now. As many as you've got tons and tons of new guys doing lots of marketing and hype around it, we're on the other side with the Sierra Cedar research this week, finishing off the final touches on this year's annual HR System Survey. It's a hard year to be writing, I think. We're in the 20th year for this big report, and we're just past the 50% mark in almost all the areas on HR technology going to the cloud, which is not surprising. We were almost there last year. But I think what's more interesting is, how do you talk about, you know, sort of what a lot of organizations are still struggling with, just dealing with on-premise environments and where they're heading from a purchasing perspective, while more than half of the market at this point in time is sort of already transformed into what they're planning on doing sort of going forward and focusing on the future. So we've got a very divided, I guess, audience in the market right now. And it's kind of a challenge to figure out, where do you focus your attention? On all the new stuff, like what you're doing, John, or do we focus it on, you know, really making sure we continue to help people who are trying to get to that transformation point? So it'll be interesting at HR Tech this year.
What are you seeing? You know, it seems to me that the idea that we would throw away perfectly good working software just because there's new stuff, that seems a little bit too much like the iPhone business and not enough like what you do in a company, right?
Yep.
The idea of being in a company isn't, the idea of being in a company isn't to see how fast you can keep your HR systems updated. And so do you think that you're going to see that gap close if it's just getting to 50% of respondents being in the cloud? Is that the way that it's actually going to be, sort of a red states and blue states in HR tech?
Well, you know, I think that's part of what we're trying to figure out right now, right? Because the people who are, I think you've defined it pretty clearly, right? That there is a group of organizations who have invested pretty heavily in their on-premise environments. And for them to move at this point because of the investments they've made in customizations or the investments they've made in globalization or the investments they've made in just simply getting it rolled out, or they're focusing on other business areas, all of those are major cases for not making the change, right? And so a lot of organizations are figuring out ways to sort of create or obtain the user experience they want through a lot of overlays and APIs and connecting and integrating to other systems, right? And that's the quandary right now for the market. And I think, you know, your point about, you know, are we the iPhone environment or are we an environment where you just keep building on top of a stable platform or a stable, main system or two, right, depending on how you look at an environment, that is yet to be decided. And it might be that there's a little bit of both, and that gap may stay that way for a very long time. And I think that's the hard part for vendors because they have to serve both audiences still. So.
Now, that's crazy. And that means that the service component of vendor balance sheets is going to continue to grow as they have to straddle different environments. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of the conversations that we're going to get into this week are probably similar in this issue, right? Technology, new technology versus the services that go around those technologies. So we've got some interesting new announcements made from Greenhouse Software this week about new talent acquisition elements that they're launching that have to do a little bit more with sort of the services of finding candidates who you might not have previously identified in the process in one way or another. Lever, I'm not quite sure exactly. I always pronounce it, mispronounce it. But
I say lever.
You say lever? Okay. I think it's lever, but I'm not positive on that one. But they've launched a similar, what they're calling a candidate relationship or maximizing existing candidate relationship technology, which I think, again, has to do with how much of recruiting is a technology issue versus how much of it is a services issue, sort of really understanding your database and understanding what to do with it, right? And so those two organizations are launching some new modules to their software. We also have this week several new startups that are getting additional funding, most of them out of Asia Pacific right now, and a lot of seed startup, I would say. So this is a minute group of a very large group of organizations getting seed funding right now, but just a small list of them is Shortlist, which is out of the India based market, and then there's also an organization called WellTech, which is out of the Australia Asia Pacific market, and one of them is focused Shortlist is focused on recruiting capabilities, and WellTech is focused on sort of health and engagement areas, which is another area we're hearing a lot of stuff. Again, just seed money right now. And then if we get a little bit of time today, kind of along the lines of the services, Google is opening up its natural language API, its cloud natural language API, with a focus on automatic content classification and deeper sentiment analysis. So again, technical services, but you know, with the idea of allowing us to do a lot more in the cloud and really talking about how we, you know, sort of match up our language and match up our classification of things. So not a huge busy week this week in HR tech, but enough interesting things to sort of fit into some of the topics that you and I are doing on the research side right now.
So let's start from the bottom and work our way to the top here. Who are these companies that are getting funding? We've got Shortlist, who is a they look at talent in India, East Africa, and the United States, and they raised $1 million from a U.S. private equity company called University Ventures, and they have 80 clients, and it makes it easy for employers to hire candidates that are a great fit. I don't know what that means. This is you start with a great big pile of resumes and you end up with a little pile of resumes, and they do all the steps in between those two things.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they're raising money for, not a ton, but I think what's more interesting, I think, on this is that we're seeing a lot of seed funding, right? Seems to be a lot of conversations right now about seed funding. So this is one of many that we're seeing out in the market that are like this. And their focus is on investing the money in enhancing its, as they call it, data-driven talent screening and automating applicant vetting using online competency-based assessments, all the big words that we know basically mean that it's based, going through those resumes and tracking everything and competency modeling.
This is one of those deals where they are thinking about not the degree or the pedigree of the candidate, but the actual competencies that are expressed in the resume.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's interesting. So there's got to be some sort of natural language processing here to try to extract skills and competencies from the resume, blah, blah, blah.
Which I think part of the unique thing is that this is in the emerging international spaces where this type of recruiting and the ability to even gather enough resumes has not been something that's been more common. And so there's a little bit of that going on too in this. So.
Cool. And then WellTech. What do we know about WellTech?
So I'd heard of WellTech before. I had not had a chance to brief with them. I've heard of it's come across my desk, the name. So I know that they've been out there sort of trying to make some noise, but they've just closed seed funding, an investment of $1.2 million from investors, Peak Asset Management. They're a startup out of Australia, and they're really focused at this point on really, I think, getting a better sense of employee wellness and health and the engagement that goes around that. This is sort of something we're probably going to see a lot of this at the HR Tech Conference this week, in the next 2 weeks, which is basically, organizations trying to make the idea of wellness content and wellness activity tracking and wellness sort of communications an engagement tool, and that's my sense of what they're trying to do with this technology. Again, not having had a chance to review it, it includes, it looks like, rewards, virtual coaching, gamifications. A lot of this we've seen with something like some of the other ones that we've had an opportunity to talk about here on. I think Will is one of those that have done this pretty well, and we've seen Limeade do some of this kind of stuff, and a couple other ones who have done some of that.
Yeah, it's an emerging category that is still trying to figure out what it is, I think. So yeah. let's keep our eye on that. And then the next one on your list was Google.
Yeah, the Google one caught my eye this morning because we talked actually I think 2 weeks ago about Facebook opening up similar sort of APIs as well. But Google particularly here is focusing on and opening up more APIs to their automatic content classification technology. So again, open source or open API technology, depending on how you look at it. And really, it's focused on ensuring, I guess, that when you sort of use this technology, it will classify things automatically. But one of the questions I had is, you know, where is that classification coming from? Is it a classification that you're comfortable with? You know, that's a big part of artificial intelligence, I'm sure, as you've been, you know, researching, is the idea of, you know, where are you getting your contextualization standards from, right? Where are you sort of all of that stuff about how you define or explain a term, just simple as, you know, a location or as simple as a color, has to do with where you grew up and your perspective of things and your biases around things. And so all that plays into things like classifications of words and content and information.
So Google and Microsoft and Apple and Oracle and are competing to get developers into their ecosystems by releasing capabilities like this. And the question that we have, because when I look out at the interesting projects that are being done, nobody is inventing new technology for HR tech. Everybody is harnessing something from those sorts of providers to deliver value in HR tech. And so the question here would be, is the contextualization tagging that Google is releasing, is it relevant to HR? Is it relevant to recruiting? And that's a level of detail that's really hard to get to when these operations make these big proclamations like that. You have to actually go use the stuff to figure out whether or not it's useful.
And I would take one step further, which is it relevant and has it gone through the rigor of non-bias testing that we need to have in the HR space, right? When you're dealing with marketing, you don't have to think about EEOC regulations, right? But when you're dealing with HR, every time you have anything that's going to slot or categorize something, you have to think about that, right?
Well, that's really interesting. I haven't paid any attention to that level. So you're suggesting that HR in the United States would require its own service for contextual mapping that Google is unlikely to provide because HR technology is such a small market.
Possibly, yeah. Or and in any region, right? Yeah, or regulations.
No. That's every country needs its own version of that. That's a very fascinating and expensive problem.
Yeah. And particularly this one, because of the fact that it's not just contextualizing and sort of, the cloud natural language feature designed to help third-party developers organize the content, that's one thing, right? So you've got a tool that you can now attach to something you're developing that automatically helps you organize it. But the other part of this is, and understands their customers' feelings towards a particular entity, such as a company, product, or place. That's the part that really caught my eye. And I said, is this, I guess, HR tested, or do I feel comfortable with a piece of technology coming from Google that helps me understand somebody's feelings about something, right? Particularly in a market where things like brand and bias play a big role.
Yeah. So let's go to the next one. Have you ever played Mario Kart?
I have, yes, with my children. It was one of their favorite things, yes.
I think almost anybody listening to this would have played Mario Kart. Sometimes I think that the relationship between Greenhouse and Lever is like two people playing Mario Kart. Right? These are both really exciting. Mario's driving one and Luigi's driving the other. Really exciting ATS startups in San Francisco, blocks away from each other. They both have announcements on the street about their new capabilities. And they sort of chase each other like you would in Mario Kart to attract audience. And they're both growing fairly rapidly. It's a really interesting thing. Greenhouse released a predictive analytics set and CRM capabilities, which are new to Greenhouse. And Lever Lever is based on a CRM foundation, so that's the competition there, right? And Lever's releases are about identifying candidates who are already in your ATS who might be good for the job, and keeping a kind of a proactive view of that going.
Which is sort of a CRM function, but just the intelligence side of it, correct?
Right. It's like a lot of the things that I'm seeing in adding intelligence to software have to do with having these sort of orbiting queries, looking at what's inside of the database and seeing if there are matches already there. And it's just kind of an ongoing function. And that's interesting. What happens in Lever is that ongoing function then allows you to make decisions about whether to start those relationships back up. And that's why it's called nurture. So you have these two Mario Kart players chasing each other around, and the net effect is extraordinary new functionality in the ATS marketplace.
Well, I one of the things that I have definitely noticed in any of the HR technology space, and I think that this is probably true probably in any technology space, right, is having a solid, good competitor right behind you really makes you probably run just that bit faster than you would have, right, if you didn't have the competitor behind you. You know, it brings to mind the early days of talent management when we had SuccessFactors and Taleo. The two of them were always neck and neck, and whatever one was designing or developing, the other one was putting out something similar, right, before they were purchased by the two largest, you know, platform organizations in the market. And, you know, that's similar here with, I think, what we're seeing with Greenhouse and Lever is this idea that, you know, having a competitor is a good thing sometimes in a market like this where innovation is necessary to keep you sort of moving forward, right?
Yeah. The teams at both of those companies are fantastic. I don't know how customers make sense out of a choice between those two companies. It's an extraordinary situation, actually.
Well, and you know, sometimes, you know, I think about some of the markets that are slowed down a little bit, not growing quite as fast. Learning management system is a space like that where we're seeing sort of less shift and less movement and more sort of stable numbers. And I think a lot of that in that case is that, you know, when one or two of the major players who are always sort of vying for the top spot have gone away, and then you get someone who has basically gotten the top spot as far as either content, like SumTotal and Skillsoft did, right, when they made their final combination, or in functionality, like Cornerstone did on the learning management system side, right? It makes it much harder to keep competing when you don't have that, you know, vying for the top spot as much. And so hopefully Greenhouse and Lever will continue to compete because it seems to be doing a good job at always ensuring they're sort of putting something new out in the market on a pretty regular basis.
So you had a piece deep down in the noise about a Pizza Hut manager telling employees that they couldn't leave when the hurricane was coming or something like that. What's that all about?
Yeah. So you know, I'm laughing here because, you know, sometimes when you're looking for topics that will be of value to the HR tech space, the jump you make, or you might be called, a little bit of a stretch, but this one really caught my eye. One, because, you know, obviously I'm here in North Carolina. We're getting the next round of hurricanes. Obviously our thoughts go out to everyone in Puerto Rico who is dealing with the second round of hurricanes that we're getting here in this area. But, you know, the thought of having an employee or a manager or anyone underneath a brand that I'm associated with, right, post a notice that someone could not leave because we were in the middle of evacuation and the governor even said to evacuate, right? just seemed to me like there was a breakdown in communication somewhere, and a breakdown, and that to me is a very technical conversation these days, because when we think about all the variations of ways that we communicate with our employees, the technical way is probably the most rapid and the most critical, and we've been talking a lot about how HR's role is to own and sort of manage and sort of be that central place for technology that has to do with communications with employees. And obviously this was a posted piece of paper on a door that someone took a picture of and then put up on Facebook about why employees couldn't leave. And I was just thinking, could that manager have gotten a better message maybe from someone someplace higher up in the Pizza Hut region? And what is HR's role when it comes to a lot of this disaster planning and making sure that their managers are trained and appropriately communicated with around it? And that's where that came from. So I don't know.
Hang on, because what's coming, I've just been writing the section in the report about how to think about the actual cost of having a bot do some of your HR stuff for you. And so if you're going to have a bot that gives insight about benefits and employment practices, you have to be able to anticipate a problem like this, because the bot is going to get a phone call or a text message or a query from a web browser that says, what's our policy when a Category 5 hurricane is threatening my house? And so
they require people to come into work, and if they don't, know that they'll lose their job, which is what this manager did, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So part of what's starting to happen with the next generation of technology is it's forcing people to think out in more detail what their policies are in situations like this, because you have to be able, in order to field an automated service, you have to be able to anticipate all of the questions and have answers for them.
Yeah.
And so this is a really great example of why it's going to be challenging to deploy broad spectrum HR bots to handle call center kinds of problems.
Well, and I think it goes back, and in some cases, you know, a lot of this is an environment that's heavily franchised. But even in a franchise environment, when you've got something where you're doing brand management, right, that central communication role seems to be growing a lot more rapidly. And one of the things I know that we're looking at this year in the CRC to research is, you know, what things connect or are highly correlated with some of our critical areas, like top performing organizations from a financial perspective. And it was interesting to find that centralized processes, particularly centralized processes around communication, seem to be highly connected or correlated with top performing organizations, and not a lot else, right? Like, not a lot of things that you would expect to be correlated are correlated, but definitely centralizing many of the processes in HR seem to be a big part of those type of organizations. Whether or not this is a case where centralization of messaging would have helped, or making sure that they have that messaging in some technical format would have helped in a franchised environment, I'm not sure, but I would think that it would go a long way. And in an environment like this, where maybe they could have said, at least we put forward the information they needed versus them putting their own information out there, right?
Right. Cool. So we have come through our half hour. Thanks for doing this again. It's always wonderful to catch up and bat around the latest news in HR technology.
Yeah, it'll probably be a little lean this next week or two, as we know that many of the organizations are getting ready for their big launch announcements in October. But I'm sure come October, we will have a ton of new things going on in the HR tech space to share with everybody. It's going to be a busy season.
Yeah, I think we'll have plenty to talk about. Anyhow, let's check in next week. And it was great for you to be here, Stacey. It was great for you to be listening in, folks out in Radio Land. You've been listening to HR Tech Weekly, One Step Closer with Stacey Harris and John Sumter. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.